I have some younger athletes asking me, oh, you have any tips for a young swimmer and all? And I usually said, depending on who's asking, right? But I usually said I have a million of tips, but the most important I can give you right now is you know exactly what to do. Just trust yourself, trust your gut, and learn how to listen to yourself.
Welcome to the Swim Strong Dry Land Podcast, where we aim to highlight inspiring people doing amazing things in the Swim Strong family and in the greater swim community. We are here with the Bruno Freitas sprinter in chief and a Brazilian superstar, and I am excited to get to dive deeper into your story, Bruno. But first, we got to hit some rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Already?
Yes, sir.
Let me have a sip of coffee, man.
Get revved up. Here we go.
Let's do it.
First one, if you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Reading minds.
Ooh, that's good. If you weren't a swimmer, what sport would you be doing?
Boxing.
What's a hidden talent you have that most people might not know about?
Cooking and extremely dark humor.
What do you like to, what's your favorite thing to cook?
Italian pasta. Yeah, legit.
Love it.
Legit Italian.
How about your favorite movie of all time?
Any psychological thriller from back in the 90s, like Memento, Requiem for a Dream, The Mechanist, movies like that. Fight Very Club, cool. Why not?
Oh, yeah. But we can't talk about it. All right. And how about if you were on a deserted island and you get to pick two people from the any year, Brazilian national team, staff, or teammates, who would you choose to have the best chance of survival?
Ooh, Michelle, of course. And I would say João de Luca.
There you go. What's your favorite pool that you've ever raced at?
Favorite pool we've ever raced at? I love the Sete Colli. Pool, the Foro Italico. I love the Maria Link in Brazil.
Ooh.
And Monaco at the Mare Nostrum. I mean, I just gave you three, but it's hard to choose between these three.
We can call them a tie.
Yeah.
All right. Almost there. Next one. How about your favorite pre-meet meal?
Pasta. It should be pasta, and I usually have egg and potatoes for breakfast. I don't really like to do anything very different before race day or at race day. I just keep doing whatever I do constantly.
Makes sense. And last but not least, and this one might be tough, but what's your favorite career memory up to this point? One moment that you think back to when I say that.
It is tough. I think that hitting crazy fast times Saturday mornings on a closed pool. You know, when I say closed pool, it's like I remember that either training with Michelle or with Brett, we would just go to Saturday practice really early in the morning, like 7 a.m., and we'll do time trials for the entire morning. We'll be there until noon, and we'll do time trials. And we'll hit like several 21s, and some other teammates will hit like 48s, two, three times, you know. And these were really fun.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, appreciate you answering all those questions so people could get to know you a little bit more in a different way. And there's so many things that I'm excited to dig into, because you've had, to me, one of the most incredible careers of any swimmer in history. You have been the only man under 22, 100+ times. That's absolutely insane. Sustained greatness, which is significantly harder than just getting to be great one or two times, but sustaining that over decades is incredible. But you've also been through a lot in your career. So I want to dive into all that, but I first want to start with, how did you get into swimming in the first place? What brought you to the sport and caused you to fall in love with it?
Well, I think that, I'll sound a little corny now, but I think swimming had chosen me, you know, instead of the other way around, because as a child, I used to go through a lot of sports. My parents really knew and believed in sports for building the character of the child, in this case me. And that's I'm really appreciative for. And I used to do volleyball and soccer, surfing. I used to ride my bicycle a lot, and of course, swimming, right? Even martial arts like judo, karate, I've done it all. But swimming was the only sport that I'll go to a swim meet on a weekend, and I'll come back home with several medals, right? Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. I was going on and off the podium all day long, while, let's say, team sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, it would take me like a week to maybe get one medal, you know? So as a child, swimming seemed like the best financial decision.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And at what age did you decide, hey, swimming is my thing? Because you did obviously a lot of different sports. You're an athlete.
I think around 15.
Okay.
When I was 15, it was when I really, really started training for it. Before that, it was just like, I'll go to swim practice, you know? Mm-hmm. But when I was 15, I was really training to be a swimmer. It was the first time in my life I did 100-100s. So I consider that a rite of passage, you know, which yeah. still hurts to this day. But yeah, but when I was 15, it was 2005.
Okay, awesome. And at that point in time, so you chose swimming as your first love or the sport you're going to really pursue to be great at. But obviously, you know, I don't think people realize how much goes into once you get to the world stage. Everybody wants to get into where you are, where you have been. What are some things that you would tell people who they want to be great, they want to swim for their country, they want to swim on the world stage? What are some unknown things about that process once you get there, the journey to there, and also once you get there, maybe that people don't talk about? I think this
I don't think there's anything unknown. I think there are things that are underrated and maybe ignored by some people. Some people, they see what needs to be done. They see what the reality is, and they choose to be comfortable. So I usually say that, not trying to downplay here, but I usually say that there's absolutely nothing special with what I've done. It was simply a decision-making process. You know, I decided, as I said here, when I was 15, I was going to start training for it. So I didn't half-ass anything. You know, I really, really started training, and I start eating like an Olympian, training like an Olympian, resting like an Olympian, thinking like an Olympian. Positive self-talk is it's extremely important. People, I don't think people realize how important positive self-talk is. So it's mostly about decision making. Do I want to go to practice today? Yes. When I get there, do I want to give 100% or I want to be playing soft at practice? Do I want to complain about practice? Do I want to be feeling sorry for myself when I have to diet, when I have to sleep early, when I have to wake up early, when I have to put that extra effort in the swimming pool? You know, so I think it's more of a decision-making process. You know, excellence is something that you have to make a habit of. If you're not excellent on a daily, twice, three times, four times, 24 hours a day, there's nothing you can do to make you being excellent on a couple weekends a year, you know, when you have a swim meet. So excellence is something that you have to be practicing on a daily.
I love that. That's the excellence is a habit, not just an act, for Aristotle. I mean, that got me for sure. Just fired up hearing you say that, because I think people don't realize excellence is a choice. Like, you do get to choose if you want to be excellent in everything you do day in and day out. But like you said,
it truly is. When kids, I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off.
No, go ahead.
I apologize for that.
No.
But I have some younger athletes asking me, oh, you have any tips for a young swimmer? And all, and I usually said, depending on who's asking, right? But I usually said I have a million of tips. But the most important I can give you right now is you know exactly what to do. Just trust yourself, trust your gut, and learn how to listen to yourself. Because you know exactly what to do. Because when you cut a practice short, when you don't do that extra effort in the swimming pool, you are the only one who you are lying to. You know, you're not lying to your coach, you're not lying to your teammates, you're lying to yourself. And you know that, you feel that in your gut. You know, so you know what to do. So just do
That's
it.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it. Don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah, you ever see that Shia LaBeouf video?
Oh yeah, yes.
Yeah, that's the best inspirational video ever.
I love that one. Fires me up and cracks me up at the same time. I love it. Yeah, it is so
perfect.
Simple, but you're spot on, and obviously you've made that choice. So was there a point in time where you felt like you changed gears mentally, where you all of a sudden thought like an Olympian, or is that something you've been doing since you were a young age group swimmer? Like you've made those choices, or is that something you developed, or is it something that you've always had?
See, that's not a switch you turn on and off. It's something that you build a little bit of it every day. Every day you give a step further in direction of thinking like an Olympian, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the big leap for me was when I would say through 2008, 2009, I was around 18, 19 years of age. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to give you a little background here. In Brazil, yeah. We don't have the NCAAs, right? We don't have, it's really rare for you to have the chance of going to college and training to be an athlete at the same time. You have to make that decision right around when you're 16, 17.
Wow.
And I thought to myself that I could swim back then and I can still keep swimming and I can pursue an education later on when I was done with swimming, right? Mm-hmm. So back at that time, I was living in São Paulo away from my family with four other 18, 19-year-olds in an apartment nearby to the swim club. And we were trying to become professional athletes, Olympians, right? I haven't been to the national team quite yet back then.
Yeah.
And of course, when you put a bunch of 18-year-olds together living in the same apartment by themselves, that's a lot of stupid decision-making happening, right? So right around that time, I looked at my surroundings and I figured that whatever was happening there wasn't in the best interest of my career. And if I kept that path, that wasn't compatible to whatever I have envisioned for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I decided just to get an apartment by myself, go live by myself, and really invest in better nutrition, better resting, better overall habits that were more compatible to what I was trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense. And those are tough decisions to make, especially as a young kid, as a teenager, like a young adult. Like those are tough decisions, but what helped you make that? You just came to a point where you're like, I want to experience discipline now because I want this greatness on the other side. There's just such a passion for what's on the other side that I'm willing to make these sacrifices, or was
yes,
it more
No, absolutely. 2008 was when Cesar Cielo won the Olympic gold, right? It was the first Olympic gold and only Olympic gold so far of Brazilian swimming. And 2009, he broke the world record, two world records.
Mm-hmm.
And Cesar was in between training with Brad Hawk in Auburn and training at Clube Pinheiros in São Paulo, right? So every time he was at Clube Pinheiros, the same club I was training at, we would swim together. And I've always been this competitive prick, you know? I just live for the competition. And it's have something that I'm not telling you kids to do that. And it's something I'm not always proud of, but I always make competition personal. For me, it's always personal.
That's awesome.
So every time Caesar will come train with us, usually on the second semester of the year, I'll just get pissed and I'll make it personal and I'll race him. Like my sole goal in practice was race Caesar Cielo because he was the world record holder and still is for the 50, right? And he was the Olympic champion, the reigning world champion. And I saw that as an opportunity. And I was like, if I can beat this guy daily, or if I can at least be competitive against this guy daily, there's no one in the world I don't have a chance against.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was what helped me flip the switch and pursue a little more of better conditions for me to perform.
That is awesome. That's an awesome story. I love too that for some people, you know, they would have someone like Caesar at their pool and they'd be starstruck or maybe like kind of take a back seat, and you're like, no. Like, I'm here to win.
And that's interesting because a lot of people in Brazil especially think we have something against each other personally, right? But for me, Caesar was always this image of I don't know, this totem, maybe this Goliath I had to defeat. You know, we never really had the chance of having a personal relationship. It was all business, all battle, all competition every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not even sure if he sees myself as this much of a competition. And I know I gave him a little bit of a hard time a few times in our careers. but for me, he was like, I just had to conquer this mountain. You know, I just had to constantly win races against him.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great story. And I feel like even watching something like, if you've seen the Last Dance with Michael Jordan, he talked about how he would make everything personal. And
Shaq
just fueled him. And Shaq, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, that's just, I think that's something that so many greats do. They take, because they just use that as that extra bit of motivation, and they honestly strike fear into their opponents because their opponents know, like, their mind is in a different spot than most people.
I remember because I act a little unfriendly, right, at the courtroom. And I remember sometimes a really, really good friend of mine, that guy I consider a personal friend of mine, Flohaman Adu. He just, when I'm acting tough at the car room, Flohan just came to me one time to my ear and said, "Hey, dude, you're such an a-hole," and start laughing, you know, and walked away. And like, it was the both of us laughing. It was so much fun. But you're right. You know, you just, it's the whole show, you know, it's the whole thing around you. It's not only swimming. You have to start that mental warfare. In the call room, at practice, of course, you have your teammates, but you have to know the best times for you to be competitive and all. And I mean, I love it all. I love it all. And I think it's really up to how much of your life you make of it, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, at most of the time, swimming was 100% of my life, and I lived for it. And that brings me up to the 121s story too, you know, consistently swimming 21s, consistently racing fast, swimming fast, because I was living to that thing, again, I don't recommend. It's quite dangerous, but I didn't have any social life. I didn't have any parallel projects. I didn't have anything else I was thinking about during my day. I was thinking about racing. I was thinking about performing.
Yeah.
So it's a place you have to choose to go. It's a decision you have to make, but I cannot reinforce enough that it's not something I recommend. You know, it's not something I'll tell someone to do.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's so interesting because people definitely idolize doing what you're doing, but the sacrifices that it takes to get there, I don't think most people would be willing to make. And this is a really good look behind the curtain of sustained excellence and really an obsession with the sport, a love for the sport, kind of like a soul focus, it sounds like. Is that accurate?
Yes. So you used two keywords here. One, the first one was sacrifice, right? Mm-hmm. I think that the moment you see sacrifices, the so-called sacrifices, as actual sacrifices, that's not for you. Mm-hmm. You know, don't go down that way. Don't go down that rabbit hole. You know, you're going to hurt yourself. Yeah. But if instead you see those so-called sacrifices as simply something, simply what needs to be done, like I'll take pleasure in puking during practice, you know, I'll take pleasure to push myself so hard I'll have to take a trip to the bucket, you know, I love to diet, you know, I love to like cut weight, and I think that's the boxer in me, but I love to cut weight. Mm-hmm. I love to go on a scale or just to measure my body fat and all that. And I see that I need improvements and go after these improvements. You know, mm-hmm. I love to wake up sore and just could barely move. And I'm all sore on my back, on my legs, on my neck. And I wake up, I feel that, I'm like, nice. You know?
Yes.
So I love being away from home for like 2 months. Just racing back to back weekends.
Hmm.
So it's the little things, you know, I have to choose to do that.
Yeah.
And I talk so much, I forgot about the second keyword, but
yeah, you were talking about sacrifice
of sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you going to say, was it obsession? Maybe the other word that you were thinking of?
There you go. Thank you. Obsession. Mm-hmm. And obsession is not something healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's almost, I wouldn't say necessary, but it helps a whole lot, because let me be honest with you, I don't consider myself someone talented.
Hmm.
You know, I think if I really have a talent, a special talent, I would say my talent is to take a beating and stand up and come back fighting, you know?
Yeah.
So my biggest talent is maybe I can go down, but I'll go down swinging.
That's awesome.
You know, so when you're not mentioning the gag, and when you're not like build like a freaking Jaggernaut like Muhammad Adu, when you're not Caleb Dressel, when you're not Missy Franklin,
mm-hmm.
When you're not my favorite sprinter of all time, Kyle Chalmers.
Mm.
Who's a freaking unit, yep. And nothing will make me happier than see him winning this 100 free this year, yes. This summer.
Yes.
And I mean, you have to find something to some strong spot, some strong quality you have to be able to compete, right? And I think my quality was to push myself to 130% daily and come back the next day willing to go 140. You know, 150, and just keep going.
Yeah, man. I mean, I truly think that the greatest talent anyone can have is belief in themselves and a mindset that can't be stopped. And because, you know, people don't know that they can have that. You talked a lot about positive self-talk too in the beginning, and that's a skill that you need to have, and that's something that can be trained. And that you've been training really well. And I think something that people don't know too, you've had this sustained excellence and greatness over the course of your career, but you've also suffered a lot of injuries and setbacks and things that could have derailed your career at any point in time. And for most people, it probably would have. And would you attribute can you talk a little bit about overcoming that and still performing at a high level, the mindset it took? Is it the same thing with what you were just talking about, or is there another level?
Well, I think there's an important concept that you see this medal back here. That's a replica, by the way. My dad confiscated the first one. He said that it was his payment for all the investment he has done. And from the second on, I could keep the medal. So I got stuck with the replica. But that's the first and only medal I've ever exhibited in my house, you know, because I think that's, first of all, that's the highest one, right? And I think that's the one that really, really matters. It's the Olympic medal. Not that the only medals, they don't matter. It's just that come on, it's an Olympic medal, you know?
Heck yeah.
So I never had the habit of exposing my medals, hanging in on the wall and all that, because I don't really believe about living in the past.
Mm.
I really believe you should be looking forward to be better every day and working harder the next day and working smarter the next day. So with the injuries, it's the same thing, because I don't get stuck in, oh, poor me, I got hurt, you know? Mm-hmm. I have, right now I'm dealing with a knee surgery that if I really want to race this summer, I have to rehab and get back in shape as soon as possible. And that's what I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about the pain. I'm not thinking about the limitations. I'm not thinking about the stitches. Because these are facts. You cannot change that. You cannot change the fact that you're in pain. You cannot change the fact that you're hurt.
Yeah.
But what you can change is the blank page of tomorrow. And you can choose what you're going to write in those blank pages. You can choose what you're going to do in this 24-hour time slot you have available for you to use any way you want. You know, so again, it's decision making. You know, I choose to just go towards my goal instead of be, you know, like chewing on the past. And I don't know if chewing is the right word, but that's sometimes I think in Portuguese and comes out in English. So for my Brazilian audience, I know it made perfect sense.
Yeah, man. No, that's awesome. Can you talk a little bit about, because that idea of choosing to focus on the future and even talking about, hey, I've never displayed my medals. Like, there's definitely a lot of things to celebrate that you've done that you don't have hanging up right behind you, from world championship medals to Pan Pacific to Pan American Games, to all these different things that you have
done. There's
a
lot of cool stuff, right?
Yeah. And you're just like, hey, I almost think about the Kobe Bryant line where he talks about job's not finished. What do I have to be happy? And you're like, I'm going for the Olympic medal, and you got in 2020. And man,
Rest in peace, Kobe.
Yes, sir. Yes,
That's a tattoo I still want to get, the Kobe mentality, the Mamba mentality tattoo. That means a lot to me, but it's pretty much the same concept. Yeah. I don't want to have something. I don't want to have something hanging on my wall that makes me feel comfortable. You know, of course, I'm proud of it. The memory, it's what makes me proud, and the recognition and the respect I have on the Podak, they're enough to remind me of how proud I should be and how much I have accomplished. But it's like inside my sanctuary, inside my house. I don't want to have something that gives me a reason to be like tapping myself on the back and made me feel like I've done enough, you know. This year display, because it's, for me, it's the end of a chapter, right? For me, that's I went 2012, I finished fourth by 0.02 seconds, and 2016 I had a back injury in February. Always an injury, right? What the hell? I had a back injury in February, and I couldn't really train well until the Olympics, so I finished sixth at my home Olympics.
Still pretty good.
Well, it's not a medal, you know? There are levels to this game. There are levels to this game. I'm not going to lie. And it's a great result. If you're sixth in the Olympic Games, you're a finalist in the Olympic Games, a great result. But if you know you have the capabilities to win the race, if you're going for the gold, if you really want a medal, you cannot be satisfied with a sixth place. Again, I'm not saying it's a bad swim. It's a great swim, and everybody has their own goals. You know, I cannot judge your goal. I cannot judge other people's goals, but I'm free enough to be able to have my own goal and to judge my own, that's when I forget words. Now we're going to have to chop and put the other.
You're good.
But,
you're good.
Yeah. I have to be free to have my own ambition. You know, that's the mm-hmm. word I was looking for, ambition.
Yeah.
And for me, a sixth place sucked back then. Because the time I had swum in December, the year prior, 2015, would have won the race.
Wow.
So I was really disappointed. And then 2021, getting the medal, it means a lot. It was a 3 Olympic game pursuit, you know?
Yeah, man. And you talk about 3 Olympic games, you know, people are like, oh, wow, that's awesome. On the third, that's over the span of 8 years plus the 4 years before that first Olympic game that you're preparing for, 12 years yep. pursuit of that medal. And then obviously, you know, a dream you probably had even before that. And that's, man, there's some grit required for that. There's some resilience. There's some persistence. There's some just a mentality that you have to have that most people don't. And then on top of that, you talk about all the different obstacles that came up, injuries. And can you talk a little bit about the maybe some of the things that people might not be comfortable talking about, like the dark side of injuries, the challenges you've had? I mean, did you ever consider at any point like retiring when those things happen? Yeah.
I don't even think that consider retirement is dark at all.
Yeah.
there are issues, but there are points much, much deeper than considering retirement, you know? Mm. But I've considered retirement many years before, many, many times before. Just consider retirement yesterday. Consider retirement like, I don't know. It's because it's too early right now. It's like 10:40 a.m., but I'll probably consider retirement later today. Because let's be honest, man, it's not the greatest sport out there. You know, it's a great sport. I love swimming. If I didn't love swimming, I wouldn't have come that far. You know, mm-hmm. you cannot go that far doing something you hate, doing something you don't absolutely idolize and love, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm a 34-year-old doing a children's sport. Mm-hmm. In my sport, being over 27 is considered old.
It's wild.
In my sport, you don't have that many opportunities to make a living off of it. Mm-hmm. In my sport and many other sports in the world, you have to sign an image waiver. You have to waive off your image rights to be able to swim the Olympics.
Wow.
So professionally, if you want to build a career in swimming, that's really hard. That's really challenging. Sure. But I think that people that get inspired with what I do and what we do as Olympic athletes are the real reason we keep doing it, right? Because there's no better feeling than someone reaching out to us and telling us we made their lives better through sports, right? Mm-hmm. So that's something really meaningful, honestly.
That's awesome. That's incredible. Yeah. Well, you've definitely done that for myself and for many across the globe. And I appreciate the heck out of everything you've done, man. And you can bet that Swim Strong Nation will be cheering you on as you come back from yet another injury and adversity Absolutely. That you're walking through. What's the goal here over the next 3-4 months? Is sights still on Paris, or what's the focus?
Yeah, the sights in Paris. I have to be realistic now. I cannot train 100% right now. I've been it's been less than 10 days I had the surgery. I'm not on crutches anymore. It was super simple surgeries. I didn't even have got stitches. This guy glued my skin together like that and put a like a Band-Aid on top of it.
Yeah.
But I have to get better. I have to get my leg stronger again. You know, I was really working on a new star mechanics. I'm excited to see how fast I can swim with a better line of entry and a longer underwater. I was working towards getting a little bit of a longer underwater right now.
Okay.
And the goal right now is to get back strong. You know, it's not only the Olympics. Trials for me are going to happen in 10 weeks.
Wow.
So
yeah,
challenging, right?
Yeah.
But I'm also confident that no one, there's not a swimmer in the world, maybe Sander Sjöström, but there's not a swimmer in the world who knows how to swim a 50 like I do. You know?
Yeah.
There are great sprinters over there. There are people actually faster than myself. But I think that I have, I mean, I just have the blueprint for the race.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm trying to bank on that.
Yeah, man. Well, we are going to be cheering for you like crazy. I appreciate so much your time, you taking the time to share with myself and everybody on here. We appreciate all that you do, and we'll let you go. But I thanks again, and keep up the great work, man. We really appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man. Nice talking to you. And just send the link my way, and I'll put all over social when it's out.
Yeah, man. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to our YouTube channel to catch a new episode each Monday. You can also check us out on social media at SwimStrongDryland. If you would like to join the SwimStrong family, visit our website at SwimStrongDryland.com.